Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to have two texts this morning. We're going to be in Romans 8 and Ephesians 3, but start with me in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that I'm sure many of you have read through the years. And we're going to dive in at verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look, if you would, with me in the 28th verse. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose." Everybody say purpose. All right, there was 50 of you. Let's get the rest of the church. Everybody say purpose. Sounds like you got one. That's good. That's good. "For those called according to His purpose, for those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's pray. Father, lead us now in Your Word. We love You. Lord, as we think about finding fitness in many areas of our life, Lord, we pray, God, that we would begin in the heart. Nothing in our bodies, nothing in our relationships, nothing in our finances, and certainly nothing emotionally will change in our lives until we were right with You spiritually. So, God, I ask in the strong name of Jesus that, Lord, You would help us over the next 2 weeks to begin a journey to spiritual fitness. And as we do that, Lord, we pray, God, use us for Your glory. We need You. We love You. We look to You and ask You now, Father, to lead us. And I pray for strength to preach in a way that would bring honor to Your name so that souls be saved, lives be changed, and disciples made. I ask this in the strong name of Jesus for Your help now. Amen. Many of you know we have dove in together in the book Living Fit by Pastor Ronnie Floyd. He's a pastor for over 30 years, over three decades now at Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. And so I wanted you to look at this book because if nothing else, as I shared with you last week, it really helps us to understand some conversations we need to have. It helps us to understand some areas we need to be thinking about. And we're thinking about fitness in five areas. Spiritual fitness, physical fitness, and yes, I'm going to get all up your Debbie cake. Relational fitness, financial fitness, and emotional fitness. Everything in your life could be dropped into one of those five buckets. And here's what I want you to understand. In all of those areas, God has a word, God has a truth, and God has an opinion about every one of those areas in your life. There's not one of those areas that God doesn't care about. There's not one of those areas that God does not speak clearly to from His word. And so this morning we're going to think about the first of those five. And as I said in my prayer, unless this is right, unless I pursue spiritual fitness first, it's going to be really hard for me to pursue fitness in anywhere else in my life. So let's dive in from the next 2 weeks in thinking about what it means to be spiritually fit, to have my heart right before the Lord. Because if my heart's right before the Lord, then everything else is going to start lining up in domino fashion and falling in place for the glory of God. Not perfectly and not automatically and certainly not quickly. There are no microwave Christians. There's no magic box we can just dive into as believers and hit a minute button and it's all going to be okay in 5 minutes. That doesn't work. And there's no instant Christians either. There's no just add water. We can't just put you in the baptistry and everything's going to work out after that. But it certainly is about a journey. But by God's grace, let's be on the journey. So let's talk about what it means to move to spiritual fitness. First two things I want you to understand as we move to spiritual fitness is, first of all, living fit with a purpose. And then also living with a dream. I'm sure everybody in this room, you've got some dreams and hopes and goals and aspirations in your life. And that's all right. But let's talk about how God dreams about us. Visions that God may have concerning us. And before we do that, let's talk about the purpose He has for us. Dive into Romans 8. I want you to look together with me. We're going to look through verses 28 through 31 together. And if I'm going to be somebody that has a purpose-filled life, there's four declarations that need to be true of my life. There's four things I've got to be able to say of my life. None of those four declarations require perfection. But every one of those declarations requires my effort. Do you hear that? Not one of these four declarations require perfection, but every single one of them must require my effort, and I am responsible to them. So let's look at them this morning from the Word of God. The first one is this. Look in your listening guide together on the back of your bulletin. Let's follow along together. Four declarations of a purpose-filled life. The first one is this. I believe God has a purpose for my life. I believe God has a purpose for my life. If you're going to be a purpose-filled, or as Rick Warren says, if you're going to be a purpose-driven person, you need to understand that there's a purpose out there for you to be after. There is a purpose God has for every one of your lives. I can prove it to you from the Bible. Look, if you would, in verse 28. The Bible says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." God has a purpose for His people. God has an intention for your life. God has a desire for what you should be about and what you should be doing. Everything about your life, God has an opinion on it. And not just an opinion, He's got a definitive statement about every single area of your life. God has a purpose for your relationship. God has a purpose for the home you live in. God has a purpose for the cars you drive. God has a purpose for the property you own. There's just nothing in your life that He does not look over and say, "I've got a statement for that. Will you hear it?" So the first thing we need to understand this morning in being a purpose-filled, living fit in my purpose type Christian is to understand we have one. We have one. Now, I was sharing this in the early service. How many of you, you're like me? You look with longing anticipation to Christmas morning. Don't look at me spiritual. You still have a bunch of kid in you. And deep down inside, you're telling yourself, do this for the right reason. And you do. You read the Christmas story. Or you think about baby Jesus in the manger. And then like a 4-year-old, let's open presents. Huh? How many of you still run into the living room and say, "What'd I get?" Don't look at me like that. I know you do. I've talked to your wives. You run in there and you're thinking, "What'd I get?" And guess what? Somebody loved you enough. Maybe Santa. Again, quit looking at me spiritual. Somebody loved you enough to have you in mind and go get something you really wanted and wrap it up really nicely and place it under the tree for you to walk in on Christmas morning and enjoy the gift. Nobody runs into the living room on Christmas morning and say, other than Marty Blanton. Nobody walks into the living room on Christmas morning and says, "What beautiful paper." Kristen, am I lying? No. Every present I unwrap from birth to 2014 when Mama went to Jesus, she'd always look at me and say, "Now unwrap it slowly. I can use that again." When Kristen wraps a present, she's not really worried about symmetry. It always is beautiful. When I wrap a present, it looks like I did it with my elbows. But when my mom wrapped a present, it looked like something out of a magazine, man. And she just took her time with the wrapping paper and the bows. And I'm thinking, "Mama, I want what's behind it." And you know what? That's where God's at with many of us. We walk before His throne room and we're so caught up in all the externals that we're not digging into the gifts that He's given us to fulfill the purpose that He's called us to. We're spending a lot of time in our lives worrying about bows and ribbon and paper and looks than we are diving into the very purpose as to why we even bought the things to begin with, and that is to love one another on Christmas morning in the honor of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. But moving on into your life, how many of your gifts, how many of your talents, how many of your resources do you think God gave you just to leave unwrapped under His throne? No. Everything He's given you and everything He's given me is for His purpose and for His kingdom. So you need to believe that you have one. Number two, here's the declaration, second declaration of a purpose-filled life. I will pursue God's purpose for my life. Anything you have to pursue doesn't come natural, does it? Anything you have to pursue is not just waiting there to be taken. You got to go after it. Same thing's true for your purpose in life. But I will tell you this, God is not trying to hide from you. God is not trying to be hard to get. God is not playing hide and go seek with your soul. He wants to be known. He wants to be found. How can you prove that? Well, logic itself proves to me that if I have a book, it's 66 books long, it's compiled over 1,200 years with no contradiction, with 39 writers and one author, and it all tells me of one man, that must mean that that man inside that book, namely Jesus Christ, wants me to know Him. He wants to be known. He wants you to know Him. So if He wants me to know, He wants me to know Him, it must stand to reason that He also wants me to know what He desires for my life. He also wants me to know what He desires for the purpose, for my existence. Why am I here? He wants me to know that. He wants you to know that. And you can find that right here in verse 29. Let me tell you, listen, everybody's out there trying to find the will of God, will of God, will of God, will of God. If I just know the will of God, I'm waiting on the will of God. Let me help you. I'm going to iron that out right now. You ready? Aren't you glad you came? Look in verse 29. I'm going to show you the will of God. I'm going to show you the will of God for every single person in this room. Here it is, verse 29. Look at it. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now, I'm not going to stop right there, and we're not going to get in a long theological debate about who the predestined are and who the elect are and all that stuff. If that's what you're thinking about right now, you're completely missing the whole idea of the text. The text in context in Romans 8:29 is this. Here's God's will for you. For you and I to be conformed into the image of God's Son. That's the point. Don't miss the point. A lot of times we're reading God's Word and we're so drawn by the divisive things rather than understanding the simple things that God's trying to tell us. And right now, here's a simple thing. It's God's will for you and 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 all of us today that we be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus. That I learn to think like Jesus. That I learn to live like Jesus. That I learn to talk and walk like Jesus. That I learn to do the things Jesus was doing. That I value the things Jesus values. That is the will of God concerning my life. And I can do that as a welder. I can do that as a carpenter. I can do that as a CEO. I can do that wherever God plants my feet. I can do that because that is His will for me. And you can too. If you're going to live a purpose-driven life, you've got to pursue it. And here's what you're going to find out you're going to be pursuing above all others. You're going to be pursuing the image of God and the Son, Jesus Christ. Number three, four declarations of a purpose-filled life, purpose-driven life. Number three is, I believe nothing can hinder God's purpose for my life as I walk in obedience to Him. Now, I shared earlier, I want to share with you. You see the comma there in the statement in number three? I believe nothing can hinder God's purpose for my life. In the book, that's where the statement stops. I put a comma and added because this is essential and you need to understand it. I believe nothing can hinder God's purpose for my life, comma, as I walk in obedience to Him. Now, look if you would with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to describe for you the dynamic of the power available to us when we walk with Jesus. Look if you would in 2 Corinthians. Flip over there. 2 Corinthians. Listen, that's the sign of a healthy church. You hear that? When you hear that rustling, we're digging in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look in verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Isn't that good? Every stronghold in your life, God can tear down. There's nothing gripping you that God doesn't have power to overcome. There's nothing in your life that God can't take and remove that's binding you. That's a wall between you and Him. God can tear it all down. Look at the next statement in verse 5. It gets even better. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. In your heart and in your mind, God can transform your thinking. God can take thoughts in your mind, thoughts of shame, thoughts of guilt, thoughts of conviction that are not always of Him, thoughts of temptation, thoughts of lust, sinful thoughts. And we can take control of our thoughts and get them out of our life when we've done verse 6. being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. There's that O word again. You want to know the secret of knowing God's purpose for your life? Walk in obedience to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I've told you to do. So what does that mean of me? I'm going to dive into the Gospels. I'm going to know everything Jesus said. I'm going to know what Jesus taught. I'm going to know what He meant by it when He said it. I'm going to understand who Christ is. I'm going to walk the Christ life. I'm going to dwell in Him. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. The same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. But if I tap into the vine who is Jesus Christ, I can be a fruitful branch bearing much fruit for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to dive in and I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to love Him and I'm going to obey Him. I know I can't do that perfectly, but I certainly can do it blamelessly. And I'm going to give God my best effort, my best faith, my most holy faith, as Jude says. I'm going to give God all I have so that I can then know His purpose for my life. See, sometimes we're getting the cart before the horse. We're wanting to know purpose. God, if you'll just show me why I'm here, what's my reason, what's my purpose, why am I here, God? To which I think God would tell us a lot of times, you're not ready for that. I'll get you there. I want you to know that. But you're not quite ready for that. You haven't learned to obey the things I've already told you. I can't get to the specific calling in my life until I understand the general expectation that God has for me. That was worth coming for. I can't get closer to the specific calling and purpose He has for my life until I learn to obey the general principles He's given to all of His believers. The door to open up God's specific detailed will for your life and purpose is through obedience of the commands of God. Just do what He said do. If you love me, keep, follow, obey, know my commands. Third declaration of a Spirit-filled life. Nothing can hinder God's work in you as you walk with Him in obedience. Fourth, I will serve God's purpose in my generation. We only have one lap around the sun, as some have said. We've got one shot to get this right. You have one life to live. That's all you get. Now, all of us in this room right now, we are eternal. Every one of us. We're all eternal. You're going to live eternally with God. Or if you reject Christ or fail in omission to receive Christ and trust Christ, you will live eternally separated from God. But you are eternal. All of us in this room are going to live for eternity somewhere. But this life, the Bible says it's so quick it's like a vapor. It's here one day and gone the next. The Bible says it's so quick that the psalmist asked God, teach me to number my days. Help me to make each day count. And here's what we need to understand. God has a purpose for each of you in the generation in which you live. Right now. Now, sometimes I look at my life and I think, you know what? I think I'm better suited for the 1800s. I mean, I want to get back to the day where we're all riding horses. I want to get back to the day where we can all carry guns and everybody's not afraid. Y'all all right? I see some of you scared. And I see some rednecks smiling everywhere. Some of you rednecks are, that's good preaching preacher, amen. I think I'm better suited for that day. I love the days of the cowboys. I got looped in this Facebook thing the other day. Take a picture of the last 7 books you've read. You don't want to know. They're nowhere near as spiritual as you think they are. I'm reading a biography on Wyatt Earp. Great. But guess what? God didn't put me in 1872, the year Wyatt Earp became sheriff of a little place called Dodge City. He didn't put me there. He put me in 2018. He put you in 2018. He put you in this generation for such a time as this. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. What is it? Here's what we know. God is painting a beautiful picture. And He began His first stroke of the brush, if you will, in the Garden of Eden. And one day He will lightly tap it with the finishing touch in Revelation 22, and we will dwell forever with King Jesus. But while he's painting this beautiful portrait, he knows every stroke of the brush. He knows who needs to be standing where. He knows what he's doing and how he's going to do it. You've just got to trust him for where he puts you in the portrait in your generation. Trust him for the work he has for you and go pursue it with all your heart. And I'm telling you, the first step in doing that is by aligning yourself to the will of God and the work of God in your life. So much for living with a purpose. Look at the second point in your outline. Let's live with a dream. Now, I got two bold questions for you this morning. Two bold questions. Bold now. Now, tighten your belt. Take a deep breath. Here we go. Here's the first one. What could God do with my life if I were completely devoted to Him? If there was no area you left out. If there was no hidden compartment, if there was no closets where you said, I'm not going there now, God. If God got all up in all of you, what would your life look like completely devoted to Him? D.L. Moody said it this way, the world has yet to see a man complete, what God could do through a man completely devoted to Him. The world has yet to see what God could do through a man completely devoted to Him. D.L. Moody preached on three continents, for two for sure. Conservative estimates lead us to believe that nearly over 1 million souls were saved through the ministry of D.L. Moody before Facebook, before Twitter, before social media, before the computer, before the telephone. D.L. Moody was preaching the gospel and thousands were coming to know Jesus Christ. It's absolutely miraculous to read the life autobiography of D.L. Moody. And he still says, God has yet to show us what he could do through one man completely devoted to him. Here's what we need to understand. Go with me to Ephesians 3 and note something about this God we follow. Ephesians 3, look at it. Ephesians 3, look in verse 14. Here's our second text for this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees. This is one of the Apostle Paul's prayers in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to love know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a mouthful. But look in verse 20. And as I pray that for you, now I know that I pray to Him who is able to do far more abundantly. Some of your translations say exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. Here's what I wish we could all do, including myself. Because I get down on me. Feel so weak and worthless some days. If you can get inside this head, none of you would come to church. But we've got to learn how to start putting the lens of God's ability over our eyes and our hearts and viewing ourselves that way. Sometimes the mirror I look into is very condemning. Sometimes the mirror I look into is full of guilt and shame. Sometimes the mirror I look into is full of inadequacies and insecurities. But God knows that. You understand that? God knows every wart about your life. He knows every freckle. Not that freckles are bad. Andy. I love you. I'm not even looking at you right now. God knows everything there is to know about you, and yet He still sends His Son. As a matter of fact, in while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us. There's nothing else to know about you that He doesn't already know. And yet He still gives you His Son. And if God, who spared not His own Son, has given us Jesus Christ, how will He not also give us all spiritual things pertaining to godliness? Everything you need to be who God wants you to be is available to you. Do you hear that? That's what's coming today. Listen to me. Everything you need for you to be all God wants you to be is available to you in Jesus. It's there. It's ready. Just take it. But I'm two. You know the word T-double-O, it keeps us from the will of God many times, doesn't it? I'm too this, I'm too that. I'm too much of this, and I'm too much of that. I'm too old, I'm too young. I'm too new. I've been around the block. I'm too aware of what really goes on there. I'm too this. I'm too bad with words. I'm too good for that position. Nobody says that, but you think it. The word TOO keeps us from the will of God in so many ways. When God says, yes, you are too much of that, but it's about me and you. It's about who I am and what I can do. And I can do exceeding abundantly above anything you could ask or think. As a matter of fact, God delights in using very wounded, very broken, very messed up people for His glory. Just read the Bible. You'll find them all over it. So let's look at some truths about dreams in your life. The first one is this. First of all, dreams and visions from God always flow from a love for and understanding of God. I highlighted those prepositions for a reason. Dreams and visions from God always flow from a love for and understanding of God. Notice, before Paul ever says verse 20, he gives us verses 14 through 19. That's by no mistake. That's not by coincidence or irony. The reason he does that is because, going back to the last point, it's needful for me to understand the fullness of God's love and His glory before I can ever tap into His ability. Do you hear that? I've got to know something of God's love and glory before I can ever tap into His ability. So it's my responsibility. I've got to dive in and understand who I'm talking to and what He can do according to what He's done in His book. And He will never do anything that contradicts what He said in His Word. So I've got to fall in love with who He is, and that's why Paul is saying, oh, Ephesus, all Ephesian church, my prayer is that you understand the breadth and the height and the depth and the length of God's love. If you could ever just get an understanding of how full God's love is and how powerful His love is in your life. If you could understand all that you've just been justified from through faith through Jesus Christ. If you could just understand Jesus, you would understand His ability. He's able. But I'll never know His ability as long as I live in ignorance of His nature. That was a good one-liner. I didn't even put that in the notes. I'll never know His ability as long as I live in ignorance of His nature. Number two, God can do more with your life than you can apart from Him. You need to understand that about your purpose. It's not about your ability, it's about His. What could He do through you as a yielded vessel? Purpose-driven Christian, what can He do through you if you just took the hands off the steering wheel and let Him drive a while? Not just a while, for a lifetime. What can He do with your life if you could white-knuckling everything? You don't have to be in control all the time. Let Him lead. Let Him control. Let Him drive. Let Him lead. Let Him guide. What would life be? How would it look different? He's able to do far more abundantly. You know, you've never even thought the depths of the thoughts God has for you concerning what He wants from you. He's able to do farther above anything that we ask or think. And then finally, look, number three, boldly ask God to birth a dream in your heart for what you could accomplish according to His power within you. As a young pastor, one of the best books I ever read was the book The Bride by Chuck Swindoll. He just talks about being a pastor. Talks about what a healthy church looks like. And in one of those chapters, he talks about a pastor as a leader and how you gain vision and understanding from God. And he gave such good practical advice. He says every pastor needs to be able to go in his office from time to time, put his feet on his desk, and stare out the window. And you thought I was going to give you something way more spiritual. Every pastor needs time to go into your office, put your feet on your desk, and stare out the window. And then he went on to explain. You've got to have time to get quiet before the Lord and think about what He desires for you. I was sharing this in the early service. I'll share it with you. As I pray often about my life and my relationship with the Lord, I pray in this manner. God, what am I missing? Am I where You want me to be? And what's next? Now, I'm not perfect in prayer, and I'm certainly not some paragon of an example in prayer. But I can tell you that prayer, those three prayers have certainly blessed me. Put your feet on your desk. Go home. Get you a cup of coffee. Stare out the window and talk to the Lord and ask Him these three things. Father, what am I missing in my life? What are some areas that are blind spots? Maybe sin that I'm not confessing or things I'm not seeing. Father, what am I missing? Lord, am I where You want me to be? Am I walking in stride with You? Am I falling behind? Am I getting ahead of You? And give me peace and understanding to know the difference. Lord, help me. And then close that time by simply saying, Father, what's next? What's next? What do You want? What's next? You pray those ways before the Lord, you'll never be bored with this thing called the Christian life. Because you'll always be working on you, and you'll always be working for Him. You'll always be working on you, and you'll always be working for Him. As you ask the Lord for what He wants for your life, please take time to stop and dream about what He could do through you. Where could He have you? What would He have you doing? You know, when God gives you a dream or a vision for what He would desire in your life, for how He would use you for your purpose, there's three proofs that it's from God. And I want you to listen to them very quickly as we close. If you want to know your dream or visions from God, number one, if He gives it to you, He'll be glorified. Period. Whatever glorifies God in your life will fulfill you. Did you hear me? Jesus said, anything you give up for My name's sake, you will not lose your reward. Whatever God gives you for His glory and calls you to, you will be fulfilled when He's glorified. So when God gives you a vision and a dream, ask yourself, if God gave me this, I'm praying for this. I want You to do this, God. Here's a dream and a hope I have. If You give me this, will You be glorified in my life? Or will it take me on a path and a pattern away from You? Pray that before you buy a vehicle. Pray that before you buy a house. Pray that before you buy a property. Pray that before you take your next job. Pray that before you get into another relationship. Pray that before you have another friendship. Everything you do, pray that when you put your clothes on in the morning, man. I mean, whatever you do, ask the Lord. If I do this and You give it, will it glorify You? Or will it bury me deeper in either a sin or a weight that takes me from You? So ask Him. Number two, when a dream becomes a reality, if it's of God, it'll produce fruit and advance His kingdom. When a dream becomes a reality, if it's of God, it will produce fruit and advance His kingdom. I see a lot of God's people, listen to me and lean in, I see a lot of God's people holding on to stuff that they're convinced God gave them. Produces no fruit. In no way can it be used to advance His kingdom. But they are convinced God gave it to them. You know, the enemy can give you stuff too. The enemy can give you stuff too and make it look good. So good you'll want it. He's not a little red man with pointy ears and a pitchfork. The Bible says He disguises Himself as an angel of light. And He makes it look so good, we don't think we can live without it when it's not of God at all. If something's of God in your life, it will glorify Him. If something of God's in your life, it will produce fruit and advance His kingdom. Doesn't mean you're out of with God to go buy a new truck for your preacher. Just want to make sure you're listening. Number three, God's dreams expand to bring Him glory and bless others. A dream and a vision. This is true. Listen, this is true. I dare you to prove it otherwise from the Bible. A dream and vision from God will not be given solely for the sake of the recipient. God loves you. And James 1:17 is still in your Bible. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of lights, who gives us all things and has no shadow of changing. Every good gift we have comes from God. Still in your Bible. And He does give good gifts. But listen to me. If I read my Bible correctly, He does not give anything solely for the sake of the recipient. He gives what he gives for his glory, for his kingdom. God is about God. Did you hear me? God loves you. He was so in love with you. He is so in love with you. He gave his son for you. He loves you. But what he gives, we're to steward. I shared this in Sunday school. You want to know some of my dreams? Here they are. You ready? Write these down. I hope you go get it for me. I'm waiting for God to move somebody's heart to do this for me. Here we go. Here's one of my selfish Stephen dreams. I can't tell you if it's of God, but I sure wouldn't mind it. I'd love to find 3 to 4 acres in Henderson County. Have me a 1,200 square foot log cabin house with a wraparound porch. And in the driveway, a 4-door Z71 Chevrolet with a silver pinstripe down the side. Don't laugh at me. I'm fragile. Somewhere strategically positioned will be my house. Somewhere within 50 yards of the house will be a barn and a tractor inside it. Love to have a 30-horsepower Kubota with four-wheel drive with a rototiller in the back so I can quit calling Ronald Jones every year. But he's willing. God bless you, brother. And a bush hog and maybe a bucket. You need a bucket. Then on that property, I'd like to have 2.5-3 acres of it fenced in so I could have some critters. Did y'all know you hired a redneck? I give you every chance I can. And on that farm, he had a horse. E-I-E-I-O. And some chickens. I mean, I want to have so many animals, you can't even walk through my yard. You know, you're just like, hey, preacher. Now listen to me. It'll be God's business if I ever get that. But if he doesn't give it to me, I want to be satisfied enough with the calling he's placed on my life to say, that's all right, Lord. That's all right. You know, I'm convinced if I don't get a horse here, he'll let me ride one there. Did y'all know there's going to be tractors in heaven? And if there's not, don't tell me you found the verse that said there won't be tractors in heaven. There's some things I like to be ignorant of. The point is this. God has a beautiful purpose for each of your lives. And if you'd like to know what it is, sometimes you're going to have to trust him. When he says, all that's good, Stephen, but it's not my best. I've got something better. I'd love to give you that because I love you. But I've got something better. And you got to get to a point and a place in your life if you want to know your purpose where you really do see the will of God as better. God's not trying to rob you of everything that seems happy or joyful. He's trying to give you better. He's calling you to better. So as you pursue his purpose for your life and you dream big dreams that only God could do. As a matter of fact, if it ain't so big, only God could do it, it's probably not a good dream. But dream big for the things of God. And while he says no or wait on some other dreams, keep obeying him so that you might know his best to follow the dream of his will and his purpose. Listen, you'll be glad then that you trusted him now. You'll be glad then that you trusted him now. He's worth it. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, you may be in here today and you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, he has a purpose for your life beyond anything you've ever thought. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't even know what it would be to dream about a spiritual dream in your life. But I'm telling you, God has good plans for you, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. That's the will of God for you. You've never known purpose like you've known it when you've come to Jesus. And today,
If you don't know Jesus, don't pray for a purpose. Don't pray for the dream yet. You're not ready for that. You need Him who will help you get there. You'll never know it until you surrender to Him.